His grace out of His love. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for His love, even His grace. Amen. Prepare your hearts. Amen. Pastor is another messenger of God, but still, prepare your hearts in anticipation of that which the Lord has given and sent to us today from our contract via the vessel of our pastor, whom the Lord, having spared and brought back,
amen,
to continue in that which He had ordained unto him. Now let us receive our pastor and the word of grace with a very hearty amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Yes.
Let us bow our heads. Oh, gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. Thank you for the privilege that you allow us to come before you to receive and comprehend your glorious message of grace and the essence of that which you have done and are continuing to do in our lives. Now, Father, we ask that you touch my body today that I might minister the word of God. And bless these lips of clay and bless us in this hour. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today, we embark upon the final part of our three outings of ministering. I want you to take the document, and those that don't have a document, raise your hand and the ushers will make sure that you get one. This is the pastoral,
yes,
New Year's address, the Grace Gospel Ministry. Amen. This document, take it home with you. And for those who are watching by way of the webcast, listening, ask that you click on the icon that brings up this document, amen, the pastoral address for the new year, amen. And we are thanking God and praising God for His blessings to this ministry,
amen.
Amen.
Yes.
What we do not have physically, God has certainly made up for it spiritually.
Hallelujah.
And the spiritual should be prioritized over the physical.
Amen.
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 We're talking about priority here.
All right.
We had last week in the morning worship service begun, amen, the address, and then we carried on over into our Thursday evening New Year Eve service, amen. And so today we come to finalize it. Of course, the document is some 15 pages long, so we have to use bullet points. Amen. We all seem to always have more information than we have time. Amen. But we thank God, amen, how He just continues to open the door of eternal knowledge and just send it through the floodgates.
Yes.
Amen. Into our hearts, into our spirits. Elder Liberman is our designated reader this morning. The scriptures that we had begun with, and really is our theme scriptures, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. And I want you, there are two other scriptures, and hopefully we'll have time to get to some of them. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. And also 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Let's begin with 3:11, one of the most blessed of verses of scripture in our contract, as far as giving us explication as to what is going on, what is happening around us.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. You know, the more you know, the less you fear.
That's right.
However, the less you know, the more you fear.
That's right.
And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what?
Sound thinking.
Sound thinking. Everybody says sound thinking.
Sound thinking.
That is, you are thinking according to what is aligned in the Word of God.
Right, right.
Amen. Because we are more focused on the saying than the seeing.
All right. That's right. Thank
you, Jesus.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. Read that first from the King James, and then from the Greek Interlinear. And for those that may be watching us for the first time, utilize all of the translations, but basically this Interlinear has the Greek scripting and right under it the English words, and it holds the translator's feet closer to the fire as far as not being able to just editorize things, amen, to fit whatever one's personal indication might be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everyone has Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 11, amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the 11th verse.
Mm-hmm.
According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
All right, follows up is the actual intent of all that around you and everything that's happening in your lives. God has a purpose for everything that's going on. We have a tendency to say what's going on or what's happening. Amen. Or what is this? Without looking at God's purpose for what's happening. God has a purpose for everything that happens. So next time you find yourselves basically wondering as something interfaces you, remember the real question, the most prevalent and relevant question is not what is this, but what is this for? What is God doing with this?
Right.
Not what am I going to do with it? Well, you're not going to do anything. You can't do anything. What is God doing?
Yes.
Amen. What's God's purpose? What is God working out in this particular situation in our lives? Read that from the Interlinear.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, in the Interlinear Greek text. According to purpose of the ages, which he made in Christ Jesus, the Lord of us.
Which he made. Everything that's in the matrix, everything that we call as in life, everything, is according to God.
According to God.
His plan, his purpose, his will.
Amen.
So, well, this can't possibly be in God's will. Well, how did it get there? And some even attempt to basically either make an excuse or feel the need to defend God because of what's happening. If God is in control. Amen. There is a document that I highly recommend that's on our website, and it's in some portions. It's also in some portions of the one of the documents that we have, and that's in volume 2 of Scripture Distinction, of actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation of time. It's in that document too. But it deals with God's comportments, God's ways and means that are not comprehensible. It cannot be comprehensible or comprehensible. The critiqued, adjudged, gauged by humankind.
That's right.
Old Testament, your thoughts are what?
Not my thoughts.
My thoughts, right there.
Your ways are what?
Not my ways.
So as far as the east is from the west, the extremities of them detail the difference between God's means and methods and what we think should be going on. Amen. Now, in this address document, we had moved down to page 6, and of course I guess I should reprise a couple of things. The actual theme of our address, repeat after me, purpose transcription.
Purpose transcription.
In eternity.
Manifests
as process transactions in time. And so what is going on around you is a replay of what has already occurred. Amen. Someone said to me one time, said, I was praying because I was hoping to get God to change his mind. And of course, that's like taking a replay, as we were pointing out Thursday evening in the New Year's Eve message. That's like having a replay and saying, let's change this. No, it's a replay. Amen. And so whatever God has decreed was decreed in eternity.
Yes. Amen.
And all you're getting is manifestation, a replay of the transcript. But the transcript is purposed.
That's right.
There's a purpose in the transcript.
Amen. Yes.
Everything that God does is according to his purpose and his will. All in eternal intent. Everybody say eternal intent.
Eternal intent.
And so we must focus on eternity and not on time, as the essence of where things actually abide. Again, I am grateful to God for those of you who are part of this ministry. And as we move into the first Lord's Day of 2016, we're grateful to God, amen, and truly thankful that he has placed you in this ministry. Ministry that purely embraced the grace covenant, the grace contract, the grace doctrine, the grace gospel, amen, the mystery message that God revealed Apostle Paul. And we thank God for our mode of ministering, that first of all have enlightenment of God's sovereign grace of election to salvation. God chose you in eternity.
Yes,
number two, we endorse ontology. Everybody say ontology. Every one who stands in reception of this as it relates to ontology, and of course maybe I should stop a second and explain that word. Ology is always the study of. And so ontology is the study of existence. The scripture study of I should say, of existence, that it is solely in God's divine decree in eternity, radiating manifestation as position exclusively in the time capsule. So all you get in time, as we have just said, amen, is the rebounding of what has already occurred. Then we distinguish the scriptures in what our systematic study substantiates are seven dispensations and covenants.
Yes.
And as I've conveyed to the ministry, anyone who is preaching or teaching, whatever, don't be shy. We make this statement. If you do not, what, divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants, what's the opposite results? You'll be confused. Amen. You got to know when God is talking to us and when he is talking to others, even though it benefits us. Amen. I can tell five people, I can say move that book and five people are there. And if I don't, amen, specify someone, amen, five people will get up and attempt to move the book. Amen. And so what he is conveying to us as members of the body of Christ in the present church age is found in the contract that is for the grace church in the grace dispensation.
Yes.
And so we have to dwell in our contract.
Amen.
That's in the grace dispensation and the grace covenant. And then, as we exegete, everybody say exegete.
Exegete.
That is to systematically interpret. It is from the essence of going through and having available to us the numerous transcripts of the Greek manuscripts. Now, again, I'm going to take time and just go through a couple of these, and I'm going to take my time this morning. Amen. We have three basic groupings of the manuscripts. And one is what they call the Textus Septus, which basically that's the one that the majority do follow that, because the King James translations were basically drawn out of it. But this is what the powers that be basically utilized. And remember now, all the manuscripts are copies of copies. And basically, the translations were drawn from different aspects of these copies. Now, the essence of knowing and working through this is where you draw from will heavily influence the translation.
Amen.
And the second set of manuscripts come from the what they got together at some point, amen, and around the 15th or 14th century, I should say, and they got together, maybe the 15th century, and they got together more variations and brought them in, and they called it the majority text. That's what we call it. Then somewhere along the line, later, and the latest, are what we call the critical texts, which they found those to be the older writings. And basically out of it come some of the newer translations like the NIV.
Amen.
And from the majority text is where you get what they call the New King James. And now you take all of these, and someone said to me, but which one do you use? I said, all of them. Said, which one do you depend upon? I said, none of them. Because after we get through with all of that, even including the Greek interlineal that we read from, we go through the threefold method of exegesis are interpreting. And they are what? Historical, what?
Contextual,
and what?
Grammatically.
Historically, if you are going to deal with those things that are relevant to us in this day, in this age,
yes,
you must draw from what is written to us, in this age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That basically is the what is called the mystery writings, that message that was revealed to the Apostle Paul that was hid from generations and now is made known, and that is for us. Because remember, whatever portion of the Bible you go in, where you're reading from, determines what you extract from it. You go into the Old Testament, there's nothing there but law. You go into what is commonly called the Gospels, you will strike the New Testament, a New Covenant, what we call the Gospels, as it deal with the essence of what's in that area. But our concentration, our priority is in the grace contract. Everybody say the grace contract.
Grace contract.
And basically, we focus on those 14 epistles that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Amen. Now, someone say, you don't read any of it? No, we read anything else? Everything else. But our prioritized focus is what is written to us more than for us. And so, we utilize these methodologies. If you, and I get this from my pastor, amen, God bless him, all the years I was blessed to sit under him, Pastor Colbert, amen, who's now going to be with the Lord. But if you align those threefold scrutinies, and you have a pretty decent idea that you're drawing from the actual connotations of conveyances, because we don't want to be up here trying to explain something and we've given the wrong script.
Amen.
Amen. So it is that the scriptures, and we believe that even though this methodology might isolate us from the rank and file Christendom, we believe that this is what God has given us here.
Hallelujah.
At the Grace Gospel Church.
Amen.
As we said in the other items, from the inception of this ministry, 17 years ago now, moving toward 18 years, all of the thinking that were prevalent in our minds at that time have now been overridden, amen, by the knowledge of eternal viewing. Everybody say eternal viewing.
Eternal viewing.
Now,
yes.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. I told you I was going to take my time this morning. Elder, read that first from the King James.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with the 12th verse.
Mm-hmm.
For we commend not ourselves again unto you.
We're not here to talk about ourselves. Nor any other men or methods. Amen.
Amen.
Or matters, even though we are in the world,
mm-hmm,
we're not of the world.
That's right.
What do you mean by that? Don't you stay yourself up there? You see, we have come to realize that we are not residents or citizens of the earth. Amen. We're really visitors of the earth. Our citizenship, where's our citizenship? In the heavenlies.
In the heavens.
Where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
Christ.
That's right.
Amen. So we're here for a short, very, very, very short time. And what we are cousins of is that this is a dress rehearsal for where we actually abide.
Yes.
Amen. All right. So we are not commending ourselves unto you. We're not preaching ourselves. We're not giving you an account according to us. But we're giving you an account according to God. All right, read.
But give you occasion to glory on our behalf.
Because we want you to glory in the essence of those things that are godly. The essence of God's saying, God's dealing. Because when we do that, read.
That ye may have somewhat to answer them.
Because it gives the answer, what?
Which glory in appearance and not in heart.
Let's go to the Greek that's to straight that out and to actually focus in there. Read. Now follow along if you don't have the, and for those that are watching, you can follow along whatever translation you have. Read.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, 12th verse, interlinear Greek text. Not again ourselves we commend to you, but an occasion given to you of a boast on behalf of us, in order that ye may have to, in reference.
You have something to point to. What?
The in faith boasting and not in heart.
That those two terms, and we went through that the other night. We're going to really watch the time now. The two aspects is to look at things at how they appear before you each day. Not much to boast about there. But the in faith deals with what is before the presence of God, and what is before the presence of God is an eternality, the finality, the completion of it that is in the same. Remember, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, the ages have been and are created by what? A saying of God. So that the things that appear aren't coming out of the scene. Where are they coming from? The same. The in face. Presence of God. And so, basically, we are here to tell it like it is. Not like it seems to be. To give things the face value,
yes,
rather than what we cursorily, and that's all we can do in our secular minds, is to cursorily look at things. And as they appear to us, we say, that's it. That's not it. Amen. That's what's appearing, but what it is doesn't come out of them. What did it come out? Of the same. So how to know what's going on? Got to open this book. And that's why no matter what's going on out there, when we come in here, we're going into the book.
Amen.
Everything that's going on in the matrix can be summed up, amen, in the essence of what God has done and completed and already brought to pass. Because after all, all the only thing that you're looking at, again, is the replay. Amen. Now let's go into the document. Let's go to page 6. The last paragraph where it starts there said actualized moments. Everybody got that? Yeah. Actualized moments aren't situated in the disorder of time, but rather in pre-designed emergence beyond it. Beyond time's venue, there is the attained fullness of joy of the eternally present. Everybody say eternally present.
Eternally present.
Everything is eternally present. Remember, the matrix of what we call life is in a time capsule where you only get reflections, past, present, and future as they seem. Eternal presence, everybody say eternal presence. Encompasses purpose, emergence, in manifested order of times past, present, future. Therein is meaningful value. Things experienced in moments that seemingly situate totally within them. This is connected in insufficiencies within time. And that's why everything seems so up in the air. Because what's there solely implies, amen, what you see. However, God's triumphs are in the eternal.
Yes, yes,
yes.
Every problem is solved.
Everyone.
Yes.
Amen.
Every question is answered.
I hear you.
All things are resolved.
Yes, man.
God hasn't left anything floating in the air. So, God's triumphs are in the eternal, beyond temporal order. Eternity overviews the past, present, and future. Even though the specific objectives and advantages in the present are randomly projected within the past and future. Testimonials and narrations as connected with time problems should likewise be considered in this view. They can be considered as objectified, that is, situated within the power of time entities, that is, within the order of the past, present, and future. But their purpose, everybody said
purpose.
Is an eternal existence,
yes,
rather than in their so-called inner destinies in time. And you hear about people talking about destiny, my destiny, and so forth and on. Amen. As though you can turn the wheels and move things around, amen, that decidedly determine where you end up. No. Your future is already set. Your tomorrow is already here.
Already,
oh, give God a praise.
Yes.
Now, if you don't understand that, basically, in your present day experiences, they don't have any spiritual commentary within their unfolding recitations. But the answers are connected beyond the primary documentaries of the physical arena. In this, God's eternal declarations overshadows all earthly projections, which persists, yet they never yield consistent communications. God's purpose transcription predominates, not as outwardly given realities, but in actualized existence.
Yes.
Hence, just as thereof, and we, in that last verse of scripture, just talked about surface undertakings in time parameters. Amen. In eternal viewing, such are even more in the definitive completion of infinity. And the other night we gave the example, amen, we asked that if you divide 20 by 3, what do you get? 6.666666. And you can go around the universe and you're still putting sixes down. Because you have not definitively defined them as a point. And you wonder why you can't put your fingers on them. Everything in the matrix is in infinity. And here Paul, as we're going to go through to in a minute, that last scripture we call 2 Corinthians 10:14, speaks of immeasurable things, unmeasurable.
Yes.
Undefinable. In this sphere.
Yes.
Amen. But in eternity there are infinity, amen, is swallowed up in eternality, in completion, where everything is defined. So all measurable things are in eternity. So thereof is the qualitative essence of infinity, absorbed in eternality beyond quantities in the matrix. Now, as the psalm told, and we compare them, the sole petitional in non-fractional integral quality is where we are going. We want what is qualified in completion. Hence, God's purpose is clearly advantageous in understanding that there can't be any utopia attainment, since eternity isn't realizable of measurable merit. You can't get completion, so some things we take face value, even though I can't see it. But we take it face value because God has said it.
Yes.
We can't see the essence of all things actualize. Amen. And we can't see the essence of the glory of which God has reserved for us. But we take face value according to what? The same. But God has said. Many won't preach the unseen because they say, well, that's boring and I can't see it. I can't really put my finger on it. Must not be there. No, it's not here. It's there. But everything is there.
Yes.
And not here. What's in eternality abides. What's in the matrix strives, but never reaches the pinnacle of whatever we are endeavoring to do. So our focus must be on time as a meandering, transitional mode where an eternity is fixed. It's there. And you can depend upon it.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now when you preach like this, somebody's going to get bored. And I don't know what you're talking about. Open the book. The Holy Spirit. Because as we look around, what is there to brag about? We don't know what's going to face us in 2016. In our personal lives, as far even on the social and political, economical scene.
That's right.
Or what might go down.
That's right. That's
right. And if you're going by what you see, you're prone to be frustrated. and disappointed. Now, go back, basically, I mean, go forward down to the paragraph where we said the first phase, that's in the middle of the page 7. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, and that's the last scripture we'll have time to really focus on today, and there are many other scriptures, but take this with you, and those that are watching, take the time. This is going to free you. This is going to give you peace, tranquility. You'll be able to sleep at night, regardless what comes up on the tube.
Glory to God.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14.
King James,
and then we'll go to the interlinear. And then we move forward.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure.
Let's stop at 13 first.
Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
But we will not boast of things without our measure.
Without the measure or beyond the measure or outside of what's we're able to measure. That things without measure. And that you notice that our is what? Tongue size. Strike that out of there. What he's saying is that we're not going to boast of things without measure. Mm-hmm. Except as what?
But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you.
So basically, what's in the vein of boasting is in the word of God, in the same. It is beyond our measure,
glory,
our comprehension in many aspects, especially as we view things. But they are crystal clear in faith of believing God and taking him face value at his word.
Hallelujah.
Regardless of how that thing looks to you,
right.
Seems to you,
right. Yes.
Bothering you, scaring you.
Yes. Glory.
What counts is what God says,
that's
not what you see.
That's right.
Now,
yes.
Verse 14,
interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For not.
No. The third, King James first stated. Yeah.
Verse 14, King James.
Mm-hmm.
For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure.
We won't stretch ourselves, and of course they put that in there for explanation. So we won't stretch ourselves beyond. We're not trying to give you an answer within the matrix, because there's no answer in the matrix. The answer is beyond the matrix. Understand what he's saying now. When I speak of the matrix, matrix as we define is a field of representations of what's happening. What is construed through appearance is basically charted in the matrix, how things seem to appear. Now,
yes.
Finish it up.
Have mercy. As though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ.
We won't go any further than the preaching. Let's go to the Greek text. Then what's in this word, when the word stops talking, we stop talking. And we don't start talking until the word starts talking.
Amen. Yes.
As I've said, ministry You get up here as long as you in the context, and you stay in the context, and you exegete in the context, and explicate the context, you're safe. Now, once you get through that, sit down, because something else is going to come out.
I hear you.
And we don't want to be misleading. Read that.
Verse 14, Greek text. For not as not reaching to you, do we overstretch ourselves.
Overreach. It's an overreach. You get up here philosophizing. I should say philosophizing.
Overstretch ourselves.
You've overreached. And it's going to blow up in your face.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we cannot depend upon processes. Historically, processes will let you down.
Yes.
You go through a process and something would happen one way and you say, well, this is the way it is based upon the history. And then that process will culminate in something completely different.
That's right.
Because things don't move on process. What do they move on?
Purpose.
Overreach ourselves.
For as far as even you, we came.
Where?
In the gospel of Christ.
In the gospel of Christ.
Hallelujah.
We confine our dissertation, our inspiration,
yes, Lord,
our advice.
That's right. Now, come on with it.
Our exaltation.
Yes, yes, yes.
To what's in the same. When the Bible stops talking, you should also. Someone comes and says, well, what about this? What's the said? I don't know. So you don't know. You're supposed to be man of God and know what's in the Word. That's the key. It's not in the Word. And so, because the script isn't saying, I'm not either.
I hear you.
Amen.
All right. Our time is far spent here. I want you to move over, amen. Now take this home and go through it. Essence of in detail. Keep this around a long time. Page 8, about the middle of the pages. Where it says parameters. Everybody got that? Amen? Parameters of human experiences are conclusive. In the Pauline, there is a purpose, derivative process as such conveys meaningfulness to entities. If human reasoning, humanistic reasoning holds determinism hand exhibited in its expression of hope and joy, even its moments of bias resonations, such as inspired in complexness of emotional affections that are mired in visuals. Scripturally, everybody says scripturally.
Scripturally.
There's completeness, a meaningfulness to existence that goes beyond scientific investigation. Interestingly, even though science paints a picture of a very chillingly cold, pointless universe, it also insists that human beings afford its purpose through their independent actions, by discovering things about nature or by determinative exertions faulted within unresolved and impersonal universal challenges. In other words, the averred or the claimed conspectus, that is the general overview, is that we, that is humans, can nonetheless create for themselves a little island of warmth, and you hear this every day, and contentment. We determine, amen, what comes out to our best interests. Even as this is viewed as a deeply humane statement through physicality's associations, such as that scientism expresses views that are similar to numerous religiosities. And so what is conveyed in humanism and philosophies has worked its way into religions. And so we hear the same thing from the pulpits of orthodoxy that scientism claims. And everything is based upon processes. As though there's no interest in God's purpose. Where's this going? Not where is this going, where it is already gone, we just haven't seen it yet.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
It's in God's purpose.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh, I'm
listening. If creation's evolving developments are inherent in a brief history of time as claimed in inconsistencies, no boundary arenas, it follows that such avowals or such claims impair cosmological moral propositions, precise moments prompting things. So what's in the moment is determined. What is done or not done? No. No. There's always some outside, not intervention, but predisposal.
Hallelujah.
Of that thing. Wherever it's going, it's already there. In other words, whatever it is, it already is.
Amen.
And has been from eternity. In such precise moments, things in time begin inherently, thus eliminating deist determinism's initiations. That things in time work out themselves.
Oh, Lord.
Or work according to the order of things. This is why God will allow a thing to happen one way, one time, and another.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure God out. Here I have a little peon brains attempting to figure God out. Just take face value what he is saying. Because of such claim models, function errors emerge in time out of some type of quantum haze in initial moments as imaginary components of time. These visibly term what are viewed in humanism's wonderland in seemingly precise allegoristic meaning relating as life complexities. You can clear all of that up by just taking Vic's value what God has said. In physical cality, secularity, resonation, the details of imaginary time are solely what exhibit in such notions that things at a specific point gradually emerge from things what? Inherently more complex. So you don't get the answers in time because the answers don't reside in time. they don't abide in time. According to human resonation, things originate and unfold manifestly in time, rather than time itself having its being in components that they have been foreordained in eternity.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you know, that takes the worry out of stuff. That is if you trust in God and take Him face by you. Otherwise, you all the time tearing your hair out.
Amen.
Over things that you have no control over.
Amen.
But the God of our salvation, He controls.
Yes.
And He has done all things according to His will,
yes,
which works out to your advantage. Oh, give Him a praise.
Yes.
In essence, everything is eternally placed and resolved in what has been summoned in God's purpose. The vast scope of creation defies critiquing of any physical components viewed as the means and methods. Physicality assessments are partial to the philosophical reservations in their misrepresentations of the preeminent purpose of God. There's no permissible critique other than reference, actualize, purpose, wisdom, exclaim. And Romans 11:33 brings it out. And the quote is, "Oh, the depth and wisdom and knowledge of God."
Yes.
How unsearchable are His judgment,
yes,
and untraceable His ways.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's go to page 12. Well, time won't allow. Let's go to page 14 at the top. Where it says accordingly. So now you know I'm going to the home stretch, because that's what accordingly conveys. Such true conveyance, that is, of things and appearance, yet complete in absolution of time. Correct in accordance with effectively scrutinized and assessed gracious great scriptures. So you know you're in alignment with God. After what has been traditionally taught in orthodoxy for centuries and millennia, the premise that purpose transcription in eternity manifests as process transactions in time has not been accepted as the correlation is the mystery truth revealed to Paul. But it's exclusively in this message consciousness that consistency breeds. These truths are profoundly aroused because they witness the eternal viewing, confounding the terror of insufficiency and humanism with majestic scorn, yet they exhibit heroic courage of them drawn from the wells of eternal relativism. Everybody say eternal relativism.
Eternal relativism.
Conceptions in this sphere encumber realizing strained, adversely designed manifestations are eradicated and are even transcended in viewing eternal completion in God's decree. Now, in passionate reaped eternal instincts, divine enablement overcomes depraved temporariness, wherein there resides moments and testimony of inspirations of embowelments, confrontation of good and evil compressed in the same massive power of ordination, not only addresses, but it dictates manifestations in time, obviously veiled from the completed course born of God's will. Now the most fervent appeal for eternal completion, here I'm on by the word, but I'm going to shift the gears into high gear here. The most fervent appeal for eternal completion declares the diversities of God's power from humanly doctrinal deformities, which commend and encourage ignoring conscious of eternality. As I've said before, on our part, we must deeply respect those who treasure their traditions, institutions, and misperceived privileges of many generations, and extend boldly to join hands with them. However, we won't comply. We won't kowtow. And we won't divert in order to stand with them, because we will not comply from the physical earthly vantage points of shrewd comprehensions, because that will only situate us in a track wound in a circle, long and agonizing. Because when you join the crowd, you'll be doing just like the children of Israel in the Sinai depths. They were going round and round and round. And what was a 3-day journey ended up taking 40 years. So we don't want to be wound in a circle. But we will continually excel in the unseen sphere, beyond life uncertainties. Daily living in most church cultures is nurtured and expounded in humanly infused godliness, which is conflicting from the grace scripture documentation. A good example is Ephesians 1 and 4. However, conversely, the opposite is true, as we have read from Ephesians 3 and 11. In spite of what is in their unmanageable religious creeds. Hence, I stand before you today as I close. I stand before you today with conviction that such viewing is consigned to human dispositions in contrast to eternal actualization. Yes, yes. The only thing certain about earthly consigned viewing is how menacing it has been to God's people and their flawed concepts of salvation. And this is why you hear songs about people striving and moving toward a goal. No, we're not moving toward the goal of salvation. We are manifestly extracted according to the goal. In other words, you were saved before you were made.
Amen.
So our ministry's primary focus has been and must continue in the spiritual heavenlies vantage point of eternal viewing, regardless of the majority of Christendom's fragrant denial of expressing the original cause of life transactions. Earthly appearances clash with the knowledge that purpose transcription in eternity manifests as process transactions in time. The most tragic feature of earthly viewing of eternal salvation is this way of posturing Christian living as a result of human pride and ego tapering, as devised to distribute God's total input with humans' alleged participation. That's the synergism that must come down. Instantly, when symbolisms of credit follow this, are diverted from God's predetermination, and a strange enterprise forms between deity and depravity. This is utilized by emerging interests to direct destinies through human application. While this is the bottom line of religious systems, such effectively renders the masses disruptively availing in frustrations of human endeavors and inevitable failures. In the coming years, we must, in scriptural excerpts, disrupt these destructive inducements in meritorious claims that unavoidably threaten and ultimately defy abiding confidence in Christ's eternal provisions and accomplishments. When when there is no scripture insight to divert doctrinal malfunctioning, unenlightened recompense is disputably in our sinfully depraved nature. This is asinine because the chief factor of eternal status is God saved us and called us, not according to our works or production, but according to his own purpose and grace that was given us, sourced in us before time's eternal. That is from 2 Timothy 1:9. Spiritual progressions, everybody says spiritual progressions, of resolves must stand in comprehension and internalizations of these precious dissertations that are scripturally available. Take this with you, even more specifically to our ministry. The Grace Gospel Ministry will continue to teach that dependable instructions are more straightforwardly assembled from what are scripturally internalized. Everybody says scripturally internalized. Rather than what are traditionally intimated. The reliable processes in spiritual maturity exudes its conduits of scripturally doctrinal directives, which occupy in the completion of spiritual comprehensions. Ephesians 4:8, here we quote, that you may be, having been fully able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth. This verse epitomizes predetermined discipline in God's purpose. Religious and secular disciplines are never ends in themselves, as they are erroneously assessed, but they are stringently testimonial means wherein all manifestations exclusively abide in actualization, sold in God's saying, his decree in eternality, as we've said, according to Hebrews 11:3. Accordingly, somebody said that's the second accordingly. This is the final accordingly. Blessings gained from proper applications of the information and directives of the grace covetable scriptures permeate verifications in our lives in the following. 1, eternal security. 2, facing and overcoming daily problems. 3, eternal hope. This year, that is, we're into 2016 now. 2016 will exhibit in accelerations of tried, tested, and trusted employments of our scripture abode in eternal heavenly's viewing, precedent to menacing disorders of what seemingly are thrust upon us strictly for testimonial purposes. Whenever anything, and I say this in emphasis, I'm parenthesis, I should say it in quotes, anything new, as these scripture truths are orthodoxly gauged, anything new enters into the debates. It induces new challenges, but also new opportunities. As I previously stated, we must confront the challenges that we face as a result of these revelations that, in fact, are actualizations in manifestations modes. Alas, the challenges develop and the earth's viewings privatize and dominate even many of God's people. That's sad. It is unquestionably true that no individual can live alone. No inhabitants can live alone. And impressions of such are scripturally unfounded. However, conversely, our lives originated and reside positional-wise exclusively in the sphere of Christ, who is our life. Here we have a litany of scriptures we won't go through. Take it with you. The bottom line is in Romans 8:37, quote, "But in all these things, we more than conquer through the one who has loved us." Hence our superlative petition to God is that he continues to bless our ministry in eternally viewing all things as they are according to God rather than allegedly opposite settings. And with this, he said, grace and peace to all in the sense of our scripture perspective in the new year. Take it with you. Chew on it some more. God bless you.